Eric, do you have a do you have a few minutes for some questions?
Yes.
Okay. The floor is open, bearing in mind that we will be speaking with we will be hearing from Lee and Nick about some of the sustainability work. But for the moment, does anyone have any high level, some the broader level questions for Ericky about progress around perhaps time frames? I think Ericky covered that pretty well.
When I talk about these nominations, I mean, I have no mandate from trustees yet, but my own feeling is that you start to nominate names and people before COP26, it takes the whole attention.
Yeah, right.
It's perhaps better to do the substance, basic work well, and when we get another welcome or even more, then we move on to nominations and the concrete actions.
Yeah, completely agree. Ericky, I think that was a thorough update. I mean, there's so much going on, and so much going on very quickly. COP26 for all of us on the call today. If you don't know, that's early. I believe it's early November. Our next meeting, the Advisory Council meeting, will be about a week after COP26. I've seen some rumblings about whether or not COP26 is going to be face-to-face or virtual, given COVID, but it seems to me, everything I've read, that it will actually take place face-to-face. Ericky, is it in Glasgow?
Glasgow, yes.
Glasgow. All right. Ericky, well, before we... I see a comment from Torsten. Ericky, it's a question about funding. So let me read to you, Ericky, Torsten's comment. It was, income was below budget due to delays in receipt of contributions. Were these amounts substantial? Is this a one-time event due to COVID or a sign for future reductions in funding? Point 2.6 in the update. I don't know. Is it at this point, Ericky? What is your view on the level of funding? I mean, I would imagine it's difficult to really make an accurate assessment of the levels of funding in the aggregate or the cumulative amount of funding. But can you give us a further insight into what you're thinking about when it comes to funding?
Perhaps just to say that if you want to get some sense of the framework, what we talk about, just look at the budget of IFI's foundation now. You know, we are establishing independent board within the IFI foundation. You get the big picture there. And that's all that's known, this framework, by all those who are making the offers. And when we cover seed capital, in the best case, we could be able to finance perhaps for 3 to 5 years, first years, all the activities. And of course, after that, there must be permanent diversified funding for the organization. So we need to work parallelly. But this kind of seed capital for 3 to 5 years for the whole organization would be a reason to start.
Okay.
When I've been a minister of finance, I always give to permanent secretary word on the exact figures.
Right.
So if Lee wants to tell more, he's been ready to do. But that's the basic way of working. So we are, of course, they say we are relieved that it came relatively early. It's so global, and the level of commitment which is needed, required, is also so. Just to say to you, for instance, that the letters we have got from major countries are signed from the top ministerial level down to private sector organizations, so that the community which is involved is often a part of this proposal, from government to standardization organization, banking sector, and so forth, which makes this very credible. And that shows that the sustainability issue really has become mainstream also around the world. So many financial centers want to be part of the process for various reasons. Some have had already commitment in history. Others want to play a role in this whole context. So if there has been a positive surprise, I must say this is absolutely one of those. Second, also, I must say, just to say, is there still this, as you said, welcome from G20 meeting in summer already, you know, before Glasgow was important. But still, there are, of course, issues in various jurisdictions, like United States, you know, what is the role of SEC government vis-a-vis international standards versus domestic ones. Still, of course, also in Europe, what is the role of EU taxonomy, their Green Deal vis-a-vis international aspects. So it's not done. It's not done, but there, is there a path for global sustainability standards which could be visible now? I would say there's a path if we can make these global standards and regional standards complementary, somehow on based on global baselines or building or baseline or building blocks.
Good. Thank you, Erik. You used the expression earlier, expressions of serious financial commitment, and I think that's well put. Garth Jones, good day to you. The floor is yours, Garth.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and thanks, Erki, for the valuable update and feedback. My question related to the point around private sector funding, whether that particular aspect had been discussed by the trustees as opposed to public sector funding, and the possible perception of any conflict of interest and so on. I didn't know whether that was something that had been specifically discussed or not, because that came as a bit of a surprise.
Let's say these proposals which have been done for various jurisdictions, they combine both. So I think they often are, let's say, private sector activity has been dominant behind, but then they are also supported by public activity. Of course, we need to go in detail before you can say the figures. But of course, if anywhere here also, the issue of conflict of interest is critical, so we need to avoid it. By the way, the trustees have reorganized its activities so that we created also an ethics committee to help and in this work if any issues arise. But if you want to need to continue here, you have been working, I'm almost every 2 days, but you have many times a day with this issue, so you can make further comments on the question about funding.
Thank you, Erki. And Garth, just to give some context back to your question, the funding model that the foundation has had over past years has always been a combination of private and public monies. And really the approach there has been by the trustees to make sure there is breadth to the diversification of who the funders are. So whether it's public or private, the goal is to make sure that there isn't a sense that too much is coming from one organisation, one jurisdiction, or one grouping, in order that it allows the perception, if I could leave it there, of that challenge to the independents. As we move through these letters of offer, and our work is still continuing for the proposed board, many of the jurisdictions have come with a consortium of mixture of both public and private, and to a degree where there's balance, that even in the side the consortium, there isn't a dominance again of who might be providing the funding. We need to explore it further, but I've been certainly encouraged by the approach in the letters of offer that they've recognised the importance, the fundamental importance of the independence to the proposal board.
Lee, thank you for that, and also thank you for your clarification of Thorsten's question regarding the timing of funding. Leslie, over to you. Good morning.
I was just following up on Garth's question and the need for independence. And I was wondering, the offer of seed money is very generous, I mean, especially when you think about 3 to 5 years of funding, especially from the Government of Canada. But are some of these offers contingent on relocating or the expansion of the global footprint to those jurisdictions?
Thank you.
Yes, if I can reply here. It's very clear that they expect some some activities to be located in the jurisdictions. That's very clear. We have not discussed in detail, but that's normally the approach. So when headquarters land somewhere or one of the key locations, they cover the costs of those activities there. Then, of course, there are also costs which are in that jurisdiction.
Thank you. Thank you, Erki. Thank you for that, Leslie. Anything further for Erki before we move to Andreas? Martin Boss asks, what do the trustees expect or hope to take a decision on funding and location? Erki?
Yes, I mean, let us see, but I hope that we can give clarity on our intentions by COP26. And when we go to COP26, they know our main intentions. But what details will be decided before, will we remain afterwards, will be seen. But of course, for credibility of a decision is that it's well prepared. There is funding for the first years to come. And we are proceeding with nominations so that they can be executed soon after. There must be clarity there. But I don't want, we are running with very fast timetables in recent days and weeks. So I want to give some, let's say, margin for us for reflection. But enough clarity for COP26 to get their welcome or even more will be needed.
Thank you for that, Erki. Thank you, Martin. All right, last opportunity to ask Erki. Erki, thank you very much, as always. It's really exciting work that's moving extraordinarily quickly. We wish you and the trustees great success in the coming months leading up to COP26. Thank you very much, Erki.
Thank you very much. Thank you.